Hey everybody, it's Tuesday the 2nd of June. My name's Nathan, and tonight we're going to be carrying on looking at Mark's Gospel together. You'll find it helpful to have a Bible to hand. There'll be a chance to pray later, a couple of questions to get you thinking through what we've heard tonight as well. But why don't we pray together, and then let's read the next bit of Mark's Gospel. Gracious God and Father in heaven, we thank you that we get a chance to gather like this online on a Tuesday evening. Father, as we share in common this same part of your word tonight, would you please speak to us? Would you please engage our hearts with what we hear? Father, would you direct our steps, especially in this season where things are so different for us all? Please, Lord, would you show us the glory and the majesty of Jesus that we might today follow him, listen to him, and love him more. Please help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as you know, we have been working our way through Mark's Gospel, and we've been doing that just reading through the whole Gospel, but just focusing our attention on 20 stories that get us to the heart of why Jesus is good news. And so this evening we pick it up in Mark chapter 9, Mark chapter 9 verse 1. Let me give you a moment to find that. And then we will, let me read that to us. Mark chapter 1 and verse 9. Then Jesus said to them, that's his disciples, truly I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God has come with power. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and covered them, and a voice came from the cloud, This is my son whom I love, listen to him. Suddenly when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. They kept the matter to themselves, discussing what rising from the dead meant. And they asked him, Why do the teachers of the law say that Elijah must come first? Jesus replied, To be sure, Elijah does come first and restores all things. Why then is it written that the Son of Man must suffer much and be rejected? But I tell you, Elijah has come, and they have done to him everything they wished, just as it is written about him. When they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them, and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. What are you arguing with them about? He asked. A man in the crowd answered, Teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit and has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. You unbelieving generation, Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has he been like this? From childhood, he answered. It has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. If you can, said Jesus, everything is possible for the one who believes. Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. When Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the impure spirit. You deaf and mute spirit, he said, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. After Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" He replied, "This kind can come out only by prayer." They left that place and passed through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know where they were because he was teaching his disciples. He said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days he will rise." But they did not understand what he meant and were afraid to ask him about it. They came to Capernaum. When he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the road?" But they kept quiet, because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, "Anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all." He took a little child whom he placed among them. Taking the child in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me." This is the word of God to us this evening. Now, there's loads of great stuff in there, but what I want us to do tonight is to spend a little bit of time thinking about this story on the mountain, the story of the Transfiguration. And in particular, I want us to just privilege tonight, give some time to thinking about the one command or the one instruction that we find in the middle of this Transfiguration story. It's a command from God the Father in heaven, and you'll find it at the end of verse 7. Look at verse 7 with me. Then a cloud appeared and covered them, and a voice came from the cloud, "This is my Son, whom I love." Here's the command: listen to him. Now, here is a command from God the Father addressed to disciples. Now, in this story, a famous story of Jesus up a mountain being changed in front of them with this dazzling glory, God says very clearly to Peter, James, and John, who were up the mountain with Jesus, "You've got to listen to Jesus." And by implication, now that it's recorded for us, he's saying to us tonight, listen to him. Listen to Jesus. And that's worth just pausing on, isn't it, for an evening and saying, well, how are we doing at listening to Jesus? How are we doing at listening to this command that heaven gives to disciples, paying attention to Jesus? Now, I'm sure that some of us will feel like we do a lot of listening to Jesus. I mean, if you tot up perhaps the number of times in a week that we open a Bible or we hear a talk, or perhaps in this season of lockdown we've had chances to listen to more bits of the Bible or more talks or whatever it may be. But actually, this command is not talking about just simply listening, letting kind of the sound waves or the words of Jesus hit our ears. No, this command to listen to Jesus is more than just hearing what he has to say. It's a call to hear. It's a call to believe. It's a call to do the things that Jesus is telling them to do, is telling us to do. Perhaps if we were to dive back to Mark 4, if you remember a few weeks back when we were thinking about the parable of the sower, to listen to Jesus could rightly be described as hearing, accepting, and producing a crop, i.e. putting it into practice, letting it change you. That's the kind of listening that we're being commanded to do to Jesus. And so come back to the question, how are we doing at that kind of listening to him, believing what he says and doing what he says? Now, it's worth knowing that this command from heaven to listen to Jesus has Old Testament roots. Back in Deuteronomy 18, God had said that he would raise up another prophet like Moses, the very man who's appeared on this mountain with Jesus. He would raise up a prophet like Moses who would speak God's word to the people. And there in Deuteronomy 18, God tells the people that when he raises up this prophet like Moses, you must listen to him. Here is someone who's going to bring heaven's word with heaven's authority to earth. And here we're being identified, or Jesus is being identified, is that prophet, that Moses-like prophet who brings instructions from heaven to the people. That prophet here is being identified as Jesus. And so this command, you see, comes with the authority of heaven. Listen to Jesus. Hear what he says. Do what he says. Believe what he says. Heaven is speaking. Now, I guess the question that we want to ask, if that's what we're being called to do, why is it that God the Father picks this moment in the flow of Mark, in the middle of this transfiguration story, to give this command? Why does he nudge disciples here to listen to Jesus? Well, first of all, I think he tells it here because this story is wrapped in a reason why we might find it hard to listen to Jesus, to believe him, to do what he says. And that's because around it, Jesus has just told them some things that are very hard to hear. Look at chapter 8, verse 31. Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. Jesus has just told them that to be the Savior, to be the ruling King, he has to suffer. That's a hard teaching. And again, chapter 9 and verse 12, even when they're coming down off the mountain, Jesus puts the very same thing before them. He says to them at the end of that thing, it is written that the Son of Man must suffer much and be rejected. And even as they come down the mountain and they journey on, we read it together, chapter 9, verse 31, because he was teaching his disciples, he said to them, the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise. Here are some things that might make it difficult to listen to Jesus for the disciples. Perhaps these are super familiar teachings to us, but the idea of a suffering Savior, someone who would enter into sufferings and struggles and delivered over to sinful men to be a Savior. And what is more, it's not just that Jesus has told them that he would have to suffer, but he then says that his followers would have to have a life of suffering too. Look at chapter 8, verse 34. Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples, and he said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Jesus says he must suffer. Jesus says his followers will suffer. And we've already seen this is something, isn't it, that Peter has struggled to listen to believe, to accept. Look at chapter 8, verse 32. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Peter's struggling with this. And I guess that the same may be true for some of us. It might be hard to listen to Jesus when the things that he's calling us to believe and the thing that he's calling us to do means that we walk a path of suffering. Obedience, for example, might lead to suffering. When we listen to Jesus and we put into practice the things that he says, it can lead to rejection by others. It can lead to denying of our own things that we want to do. It can cause us to suffer. And none of us likes to suffer, do we? In any situation, we pull away from pain, don't we? If we put our hand accidentally near a hot kettle, what happens? Instinctively, we pull it away. And so to have a guy telling us that he will save people's lives, he will save our life through his sufferings, that's a big thing to hear. It's a big thing to believe. It's a big thing to put your trust in. And the death of a man on a cross 2,000 years ago really be the way that your life, our lives are saved, that we're forgiven? perhaps to have a guy tell you that following him, the path to saving your life, will involve suffering yourself, might cause some of us to think twice sometimes about, are we really following the right person? Are we really to walk this life of suffering? And right in the middle of this story, God picks this moment to say, listen to Jesus, because he knows that they have just heard some hard things. Paul tells us a bit later that the cross, that the idea of a suffering savior is a stumbling block to the Jews and it's foolishness to the Gentiles, and it's no different today. And so heaven speaks, and it speaks and says, listen. Listen to Jesus. Listen when he tells you that he has to suffer. Listen when he tells you that following him will mean suffering. Don't back away from him. If I could put it like this, life down the mountain before they climb up in this story and then down the other side again. Life down the mountain, we could call it street life, will be suffering life as we follow a Savior who suffered for us. But the question is, in our sufferings, will we keep listening to Jesus? Will we keep believing him? Will we keep doing what he tells us to do and believing what he tells us to believe? God picks this moment in this story to say, listen, because he knows that they've just heard some things that make it hard to listen to Jesus. Just as the idea of suffering today might make it hard for us to keep listening to Jesus too. But he also picks this moment in this story, in the middle of this story, to tell people to listen to Jesus, remind us to do what he says, because he's also just given them plenty of reasons why they should listen to him. Plenty of glorious reasons why Jesus is the one to whom they should give their ears and their lives and the direction of their life. This story gives us an amazing glimpse into the identity of who Jesus is. See, we often don't really think of Jesus. Maybe we think of the Christmas story, a baby in a manger. We think of Jesus who walked the earth and did the miracles. Maybe we think of Jesus of the cross. But this story, for a moment, for a split second, gives us a glimpse into Jesus' eternal, glorious identity. Who is it that we are being called to listen to? Well, look with me, verse 2, the end of verse 2 and into verse 3. Jesus was transfigured before them. That means he was changed, he was transformed in some way. Verse 3, his clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. See, here is Jesus in his Son of God, heavenly majesty. It's a glimpse on earth, in one moment on earth, of Jesus's eternal resurrection glory. I don't know if you've ever been to a firework display, but you get those moments, don't you? All standing in the dark, and it's all dark and gloomy, and you can barely see the person standing next to you. And then suddenly a firework goes off, and there's a bang and a flash of light. And for a split second, you see everything, and you see everyone's faces. And then that light dies down, and it goes back to darkness, and you can't see the crowd anymore. And this mountain moment, this glorious mountain moment, is like a firework going off, where for a split second we see the glory of Jesus, we see everything about him clearly, and then it fades back to nothing. You see, here is a glimpse of the Jesus that one day, friends, we will meet face to face in his dazzling glory. And this glory is confirmed to us. His identity is confirmed to us with a voice. Symbolically, they go up a mountain, very similar to the Old Testament. And a cloud comes down. The very same cloud envelops them. It covers them, picturing perhaps like the presence of God descending on the temple or the tabernacle when God's presence came to those places. And then we get a voice. The voice of God the Father says, "This is my son." Whose son? It's God's Son. God the Father's precious, loved Son. Who is calling them to believe that he will suffer for their sins, suffer for them to have salvation, to save their lives? Who is calling them to a life of suffering? It is the glorious, majestic Son of God. Listen to him. Listen to him, because this is who he really is. And it's not just this transformed glory, this glimpse of a God-like presence that means they should listen to him. But verse 4, who appears with them? It's Moses and Elijah, two great figures of the Old Testament. There's many reasons that Moses and Elijah might appear here, but perhaps one of the simplest ways to think about it is they represent the whole of the Old Testament, the law and the prophets. And we get this glimpse here that the whole of the law of the Old Testament, you know, the books of Moses and the prophets, they all lead up to this point. Jesus is the one that was to come. Jesus is the promised Messiah. And so listen to him. Listen to this one. Listen to Jesus. And then verse 7, we get a hint here, like a messianic hint. Verse 7, this is my Son whom I love. Now, why do we need to know that the Father loves the Son? Because it draws our attention back to 2 Samuel 7, where God said that the king he promised to send, he would not take his love away from him. Here is the loved Son of God. And in this glorious, majestic moment, we have a glimpse into the majesty of Jesus, the eternal resurrection glory of Jesus, the Jesus that we will meet. And God says, listen to him. Yes, he calls you to a life of suffering. Yes, he's going to tell you some hard things. Yes, he's going to tell you perhaps things that are going to make your life struggle in ways as you follow him and you follow his path. But listen to him. See, having given them plenty of reasons on that mountain to listen to Jesus, having given us plenty of reasons, he says, listen. And so, friends, listen to Jesus. Will we listen to him? Will we keep listening to him? See, I think one of the points of this story, one of the ways it tucks into the story as a whole, is that when we are suffering for the Savior, when we're down the mountain, as it were, and we're in the darkness, and we're suffering for following Jesus, and we're denying selves, and we're following a suffering Savior, what do we need to remember? We need to remember the majesty of the mountain. Friends, we still live right now down the mountain. We live in the season of needing to learn to deny ourselves and to take up our cross. We're following a Savior who suffered. We live in this season of following the one who suffered for us. But the one we follow is the one who has been given all majesty and all glory. He is the heavenly King. You see, we actually follow right now the Savior of verse 3, the Jesus of verse 3, the Jesus who right now is clothed in dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them, at the right hand of God, the Jesus who burst forth from the tomb on the third day. And the next time, friends, that we see Jesus, the next time that we encounter him face to face, this will be the Jesus that we meet. And verse 5, when Peter says, look, let's put up some shelters, why does he want to do that? Because he wants to stay there. That wasn't the moment for that glory to be there and remain, and for Peter to stay in that glory. No, they had to go back down the mountain. Jesus had to suffer. And now, followers of Jesus, we must walk that path of suffering. But actually, in one time, next time we meet Jesus, we will be able to stay. We'll stay in the glory that we get a glimpse of up this mountain. We'll stay there forever. And so, friends, listen to Jesus. Listen to Jesus. Keep going on his path, even if it's a path of suffering. Listen to this instruction of heaven, where God the Father tells us to listen to him. So how are you doing at listening to Jesus? Well, let's pray together, shall we? And then there's a couple of questions to think about together. Let me lead us in a prayer. God, our Father in heaven, we want to thank you today for these stories about Jesus that reveal to us something of his majesty, of his glory, of the splendor that he now has seated at your right hand, having come forth from the grave to live forever. Father, please give us eyes to see and remember the majesty of the mountain, the majesty of the Jesus we follow, even when life now is full of suffering for following him. Father, help us not to give up on listening to him when things are tough, when life down the mountain that we live in is full of sufferings for him. Father, thank you that Jesus walked that road of suffering to glory. And Lord, give us that endurance to keep listening to Jesus, to listen to what he says, to believe what he said about himself, about the life we should live. Help us to walk that path of following him, of listening to him, of building our lives on what he says, the one who suffered for us and rose for us. Father, thank you for Jesus. Help us now as we talk together or think through on our own what that means. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, just a couple of questions maybe to start a discussion. Maybe you just want to first of all, just share something that maybe grabbed you, maybe talk about those things. But here's just two things that might start a conversation. First of all, when do you find it hardest to listen to Jesus? Perhaps it's times of suffering and hardship. Maybe it's when Jesus is calling you to do something that makes life hard. Just talk about that for a few moments, perhaps. When do you find it hardest to listen to Jesus? And then just share the encouragements of this story. How does this story, this glimpse of Jesus, encourage you to keep listening to Jesus? So there's two questions to think about together. And then what I'm going to suggest is that with the rest of your time, spend some time praying. Hopefully you got the prayer sheet attached to the email this evening. Lots to be praying about. Be good to just be praying for our country, particularly as we enter this new stage of things kind of starting to ease up on the lockdown a bit. Particularly pray for teachers in our school and those who are engaging in perhaps getting some of the kids back to school in this way. Pray for those who are taking exams at this time in a remote sort of way. We've got a number of people doing that. So lots to pray about. Please do spend some good time praying together this evening. And thank you very much for joining us. And now over to you guys.